This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson.
Speaking of family harmony, can you think of a nicer family to visit with every weekday than the Andersons on Father Knows Best?
It is that time of year again when kids, like my two daughters, are supposed to honor their fathers. My younger daughter often accuses me of trying to be a cool dad. Theo Zimmerman has a real cool dad, especially, I think, if you're about 8 years old. Theo's dad, Jack, is a toy maker.
When I was growing up, my dad spent a lot of time at home. I remember the double doors to his study being closed so that he could work undisturbed. Beyond those doors, I could hear the whir of tiny motors, the click of plastic parts snapping together, and the sounds of small mechanisms moving about the room. From a child's point of view, he wasn't working at all. You see, my dad was a toy designer and spent much of his time making little inventions in that room.
And now the Smacking Brothers wake up to the famous 1-2 crunch of Kellogg's Sugar Smacks.
Hey, give me a smack. A wonderful smack. Okay.
Well, the whole idea in designing toys for cereal boxes is to reduce a $10 toy to a 2-cent toy. You look at something and you say, well, that's very nice, but you don't need this part, and you don't need that part, and you don't need the other part.
But how does one become a toy maker? As it turns out, my dad had an early start.
When I was 11 years old, I invented a folding sled. My mother wouldn't let me keep a sled in the little apartment we were in Brooklyn, so I unscrewed the legs and folded them down with hinges, and I got a patent on a folding sled with folding down runners.
After college, he tried a few things, wrote a couple of plays and several novels, and got married. But to the outside world, Jack seemed like a slacker long before the invention of the word.
I first got into making toys when my wife quit her job. She was working at the Museum of Natural History, and at one point she came home and said, "I'm tired of working. You take over." So I went down to my father, who was an electroplater. And while working for him, a man walked into the office and said, "I know of somebody who has made rings for Kellogg's, and he wants to sell his equipment." So my father said, "Hey, that's something for you, isn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, it sounds very promising."
So he borrowed money from everyone he knew to buy the machines. And fortunately, a new TV show had just gone on the air, The Rin Tin Tin Show. Nabisco wanted rings for a tie-in, and he gave them Rin Tin Tin rings, millions of them. Suddenly, he could do no wrong.
There was really nothing much to do. Everyone wanted rings. So I made rings for Borden, Elsie the Cow picture in them. I heard from a candy man who made a finger wrapped in paper, made it look like a finger of bubblegum, and he wanted my ring to put on the finger. I made rings for every cereal company in the States.
Competition cut short Dad's brief reign as the Ring King. He moved away from rings and branched out into toys. If you ate Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, or Sugar Pops during the 60s and 70s and saved your box tops, chances are you played with Jack Zimmerman's toys. The Tony the Tiger monorail, the Banana Splits dune buggy that ran on land and water, or maybe the Nautilus submarine, which was powered by a secret nuclear fuel.
What was that secret formula that propelled plastic over water?
I'm not telling. I have a whole dish of it somewhere.
When I was 6, my relationship with Dad was straightforward. He had all the toys, and I desperately wanted them.
At home, I wouldn't let my own children play with my samples and my toys. I would tell them, "These are Daddy's toys, and those are your toys."
We also thought he spent way too much time on the phone talking with several women named Polly.
There was polystyrene, polyethylene.
But Mom told us not to eavesdrop.
And I don't know what the last poly would be. Polypropylene.
I think Dad's friends thought he worked for the CIA. Toy designers seemed like a perfect cover job, and he did travel a lot. Finally, the U.S. government did come calling. But it was the Navy that wanted his services.
They had a graduation at Annapolis, and this was during the Cold War, and they wanted 1,000 red submarines that go up and down. And they were going to give them out and have the graduates play with them, sinking the Red Navy or some such thing. I said to them, As soon as I turn the machine on, you're going to have 30,000. And after 10 minutes, you're going to have 50,000 to 100,000. So I said, what will I do with them? Nobody wants red submarines except you. I'm going to have to pass on this. I felt very unpatriotic. But on the other hand, why rub it into the Russians? Can you imagine if this was shown on TV, sinking the Red Navy?
At times I could see that Dad was uneasy about being a toy maker. Maybe it was just the medium he worked in. It was a national joke in those days. One word, plastics. But ultimately, I think he accepted his fate as a toy man.
I can see how mothers probably didn't have a good feeling about me, but we made a lot of kids happy. Actually, many years later, I met a lady who was a Buddhist, and we were discussing the things I did and the toys. And she said, well, you know, you're a bodhisattva. You were sent here on earth to make children happy. And I said, well, that's a nice way to look at it.
Snap.
For Studio 360, I'm Theo Zimmerman.
Rice Krispies. I say it's crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or spark, not brown.